Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on this morning with Don Lloyd, who's the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, the Foreign Exchange and Derivatives at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back.
Steve, good morning. Hope all's going well.
Things are going well. The numbers are looking good on COVID. The economy seems to be kicking in on some of the cylinders. I know we could be doing more, but I want to start with the big news that's happened over the last week out of Texas, where we saw a lot of energy issues there. Talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing with oil and natural gas prices in response
sure.
to all that.
Sure. And I tell you, that's the fun thing about the markets. There's never a dull moment. You know, all you have to do is blink, close your eyes for a minute and open them back up and something else is going on. And you're absolutely right. What took center stage over the last few weeks has been this cold spell that came through and its effect on the price of a barrel of oil, the price of natural gas, and what everyone's going to be paying and have been paying for their utility bills and the gas at the pumps. So really, we had sort of a perfect storm, if you will, that hit. You know, with the backdrop of emerging from the pandemic or attempting to emerge from the pandemic and sort of the economy picking up, not just on the domestic stage, but the global stage, there's been a little bit of demand going on for oil and natural gas as the economies begin to reengage and sort of attempt to move back to whatever normal was. So given that backdrop, we then had this massive cold front that moved in not just to the east or the west, but throughout the Midwest and particularly the South. I mean, when was the last time you heard Houston having ice and snow to the extent that they've had, or below freezing to the number of days that they've had? Texas really gets hit. So what happens is weather turns cold, people turn on their furnaces, they turn on their heaters. There's a huge demand for natural gas and for oil and whatnot. But you also had the third part of this triple threat, which was the refineries and the pipelines closed down, particularly on the Gulf Coast, because of the weather, because of the cold. So you had this two-pronged attack where demand shot up significantly and then supply got reduced because these refineries were closed down, taken offline because of the cold and the weather. And what we've seen is a pretty significant increase in the price of oil. You know, you've got Brent oil up over $60 a barrel. You know, that was down in the 30s. Now it's up over 60. Natural gas sort of shot up to just under 6%. Significant increases. So that's sort of what was going on and has been the backdrop in the oil and the gas business for the last couple of weeks. Question is it going to continue?
With all of that volatility, is it a place where investors should be right now, or is it too volatile?
Depends on your time frame for investing. You know, there are long-term wealth-building investors. There are also short-term hot money type traders that like to, you know, flip for the how am I going to pay for my next couch or my next sofa. So it depends on where you are. If you're a short-term trader, yeah, you love the volatility. You love the price action and the price movement. If you're a consumer, if you're a producer, you don't like the volatility, you should be leaning heavily towards hedging. If you haven't hedged, you should have hedged because it helps eliminate exactly things like this that occur. And if you're a long-term wealth builder investor, it depends on what side you're on. You either missed it or you've been long the stuff and are invested in this industry, and you're going to start to reap the benefits a little bit. However, I really don't think it's going to be that long a term of an event, to be honest with you. I can't foresee this going on just from a timing perspective. Weather's going to warm back up. Furnaces are going to be brought back to normal and turned off, especially down in the South. And then we're towards the middle, the back half of winter, if you will, and we've got the shoulder months coming up in the energy sector. You know, the shoulder months are basically the fall and the spring, those times where the weather starts to warm up or it's moderate and people aren't using their furnaces and heaters and they're not using their air conditioners. It's typically when supply starts to build back up. Now, where we are right now, that's what's coming over the next month or so, 2 months, is that we're going to get into these shoulder months and supply will start to build back up. But this big shock that hit the system over the last few weeks drew the supplies down significantly, both from a demand perspective, and then the tanks weren't being refilled on the supply perspective.
Let's switch gears from energy to currency. Talk to us a little bit about what the dollar's been doing. I know we saw the rebound of the dollar sort of slow just a little bit, and there's been some more volatility in the FX markets as well. What's happening there?
Yep, foreign exchange, largest market in the world, always stuff going on there on a global basis. And right now what seems to be sort of a preeminent focus of this whole market is really being driven by three things. The first big driver are basically yield curves, real rates of return. And that's what you're seeing right now. And the U.S. has taken a position globally of sort of leading this whole widening of real rates of return. That was going on somewhat before. The U.S. was sort of in the pack, or, you know, the head of the peloton, if you will. But we have clearly broken out now on a global basis of real rates of return and the benefit of that. So as interest rates go up, inflation remains in check, although they're starting to talk that target a little bit higher, above letting inflation run over 2%, and we're nowhere near that yet. But if you take a look at the long bond, certainly going up, yield curve is steepening, we're starting to pull significantly ahead of other countries out there. Now, when real rates of return widened compared to in one country compared to other countries, it's going to attract investment. It's going to attract money and flow. And you've certainly seen that from an inflow stand, from an investment inflow. If you track this stuff, you used to see a lot of inflow going into Asia, emerging markets, things like that. As this pandemic, as we started to move out of this pandemic and everything started to look a little bit rosier, they certainly benefited early on. Those flows over the last 10 days or so have significantly deteriorated, significantly decreased, particularly to South Korea and to Taiwan. China is still holding in there somewhat, but not to the extent that they were 2 weeks ago and the inflows that they were seeing. So they're starting to moderate. And you know, where's that money going? Where's that flow going? It's following real rates of return, Steve, and I think that's coming right into the U.S. And personally, I think we're in a position where I think we're going to see the dollar continue to strengthen and even pick up pace with that strengthening.
You know, along those lines, we had the Federal Reserve Chairman testifying before Congress this week about a monetary policy and interest rates. And at least from his comments, it appears the Fed is basically going to stand pat right where they're at. They're not moving one way or the other in terms of changing things up.
The Fed, you know, they're not going to lead anything, and that has been their policy for decades. The Fed is not going to get out ahead and lead anything. They react to markets. They react to yield curve events. They react to asset allocations. They are not going to sit there and try to influence the markets one way or the other, significantly in influence or impact one way or the other. They are usually a lagger. So it doesn't surprise me that they've sort of taken a let's stand pat and hold. Let's see how the markets develop. Let's see if the economy really starts to rumble and move out of this pandemic. Or let's see if it's sort of a false start. We plateau a little bit. So I think it's a wise move on their end. I know there's a lot of people that look at the Fed. They look for guidance. But I think the Fed is giving perfect guidance, to be honest with you.
You know, we talk, Don, from time to time about how technology helps us do investments better and easier. There was a report this week, and I know we've touched on blockchain before and Bitcoin. The startup, I think it's called Axoni, raising more money, and some really big banks getting involved in this to sort of bring a blockchain-like design to some of these markets. Talk to us a little bit about how that might work, because I think this is different in that it doesn't really use the blockchain roadmap.
Yeah, this is a real exciting time, and I've sort of been waiting around for this type of innovation and creativity to come out of the whole idea of blockchain, the technology, the foundation that it's laid. And we usually think of blockchain, you know, as the foundation for cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is sort of a the star brother or sister that gets all the attention and the news and the media, especially as Bitcoin hits $58,000 and then sells off, you know, 18% the following day. But underneath all of that is blockchain. And blockchain is the big driving force that when you couple creativity and free markets and capitalism, you can apply that, you know, in so many different ways. And you know what? We're beginning to see this. We're seeing efficiencies. We're seeing reduced risk. And this is being driven by blockchain and how we're using blockchain. So, for example, let's say you're a company, a big company in the U.S., and you want to raise capital by issuing debt, by selling bonds, by issuing debt. And the way this has worked since I've been in the markets for the last four decades is pretty much unchanged. Basically, the big company sits there and says, we want to raise some money through bonds. Here's the tenor we're looking at. Here's the amount we're looking at. Here's about what we're willing to pay for that bond to raise money. And they sort of push that out to the market. And you get all these investment banks that sit there and say, I want a piece of that. I'm interested in that. And these investment banks pick up the phone and they start calling their asset managers, their clients. And they ask them, hey, do you want to be part of this? You know, do you have an interest in this debt that's coming out? And the asset managers get back and say, yeah, you know, we'll place some orders and we've got some interest and here's the amount we're looking at and here's what we're willing to pay for that money or to put that money up. You know, here's the interest rate, the cost of money that we're willing to pay for it. And, you know, that gets sort of pushed and all of those numbers start to get collated. And it's a manual process, believe it or not, has been for 40 years, but they all start to get collated. And think of the errors and think of the risk that's associated with that. Oh, wait, I didn't say that amount. I said another amount. I didn't say that interest rate. I meant this interest rate. And all of that has got to be straightened out. And all of that, a lot of time, a lot of risk, a lot of energy. Enter blockchain. And blockchain eliminates that process. It streamlines that process. It makes it where the asset managers can key into a platform what their interest is, and it's recorded. That data is there. It's recorded. It never goes away. There is no error to it unless there's an input error on their end, but there is no chance for human intervention to create error. So now we're using blockchain to reduce risk, to streamline efficiencies, to create a better process, basically create a better mousetrap. That is really exciting in the markets, and we're just seeing the beginning of it. Take that idea to not just trades, but voting. Take that in any direction you want. This is what I've been waiting for blockchain, and I think we're just starting to scratch the surface on what the real technology can do.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, the bottom line of that is, and I think one estimate put it in the billions of dollars of savings and gains possibly from the efficiencies you talked about and the errors, reducing the errors.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think we've crossed that threshold now, and the financial markets are going to change very dramatically over the next 5 years. No question about it. And it's going to be for the better. It's going to be lower risk, much more efficient processes, and you're going to see it just pop up everywhere.
Don, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. I'm always available either by my email, donald.lloyd@associatedbank.com, or call the trading desk. Somebody will pick up, and it might even be me, 866-524-8836.
Don, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Have a good day.